I want to welcome you warmly to our morning service this Sabbath day. We're glad of your presence and your fellowship with us. Just to read to you the words of our motto text, we've just passed the halfway point in this year 2022. The children of our Sunday school reminded us of the truths of the motto text just a month or so ago on Children's Day. There's a lot of things to cause us concern and anxiety just in the days in which we're found. So these words are very appropriate. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're going to sing the hymn 416 as we begin the service this morning. Let these words be the earnest prayer of all our hearts, those of us that know the Lord. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 416, and we'll stand as we sing, please. We're going to pray together We'll seek the Lord's face. We'll take a moment just to quiet our hearts as we enter into the Lord's presence. We pray we'll know a sense of the Lord with us right through the meeting, right through the day, that we'll know the Lord come and speak to all of our hearts, even through His Word. Heavenly Father, we do lift our hearts to Thee. We're glad of the place of prayer. We ask Thee to teach us to pray. We take these words, Father, that we have sung upon our hearts. We want to bring them to Thee. Father, present them to Thee as the prayer, the burden, the longing of our hearts. We're glad that we know Christ. We thank You, Father, that we've experienced Thy salvation. We thank You for the union that we have with our Savior. We rejoice, Father, that we know that our sins are forgiven. We thank You for the assurance that we'll never perish, that we'll never be lost, that You give unto Your sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. But Lord, we long today that You'll draw us closer to Thyself. We plead for that closer walk. We cry, Father, for deeper communion day by day with Thyself around the Word, and that the throne of heavenly grace. We ask Thee today to take from us the thirst and the desire for the things of this world and this life. And Lord, we pray for a greater desire for the things of God, and especially for fellowship with Thyself. Remember that Your Word says, the words of our Savior Himself, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And Lord, it is for such a hunger and such a thirst that we cry for today. We want to thank You for our coming together in Your house on this Sabbath morning. As we think, Father, of the events of these last few years, we're glad that we're able to be in Thy house. We don't want to take for granted the privilege, the opportunity of meeting with Your people and fellowshipping together. We're asking, Lord, that You'll bless our time today. We want to ask that this service in every part will know the blessing of God resting very clearly upon it. We want to pray, Father, that the meeting and our fellowship together will be a blessing to all that are gathered. Lord, we're asking that our hearts will be blessed, especially, Father, as we hear a word from Thyself. We pray that You'll enable us just to go on with Thee. Lord, lead us on. We ask at the throne of grace. Remember, it says of the early church, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And Lord, we ask Thee that we will be enabled. We know we need Your grace. We need Your help. We need Your power. But Lord, ask that every day we'll continue in the things of God. We pray that the testimony of Christ here in Armagh will continue faithful until the Savior comes again the second time. We ask Thee, Father, to use this witness here on the hill at this time. We want to pray for the work of God and the outreach being conducted. Remember the services as they're broadcast today, and all that will hear them, both locally and even in other lands. Use these meetings to speak to hearts, to win souls, to build up Your people. Remember the seed sown in Killalea just recently, and our sister Shannon that spoke at those meetings. Bless our sister in all her labours. But Lord, we pray for the children, that they'll be brought to Christ. We ask that all over those little ones, while they're still young, that they'll come to the Savior. The Word of God says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And Lord, we're asking for all of those children in Killalea, all the children in this church, that when they're young in life, they'll come to trust Christ as their Savior. Remember the outreach team, all the gospel literature going out over this summertime, the outreach team, as they'll meet on Tuesday evening. Lord, we ask that You'll give a good evening for that outreach, that a good number will be able to gather. We pray for a good reception for the literature. We pray the same, Father, for the outreach on the 12th of July. We pray, Father, that Many will have an interest in the literature, that there'll be many that will be met that day that will be concerned about their soul, that the Spirit of God might be working in their hearts. Lord, we ask for a move of the Lord in the days in which we're found. We want to pray, Father, that the gospel literature might be the means of creating interest in the things of God. We want to pray, Father, that the seed will fall upon good ground. We pray too for the Holiday Bible Club, and the plans been made for the meetings here later this month. Lord, go before our sisters and all the work that's being conducted there. We ask that help will be given. We pray, Father, for good days. We pray for your hand upon the weather those evenings. We pray for many children from this city, this area round about, to be gathered in. We pray that your house might be filled with boys and girls. Remember Brother Chris, as he will speak at those meetings night by night. Give our brother help. We pray you'll keep him in health and strength. Just thankful, Father, for your hand upon him, even in recent days. Remember all in this congregation, Father, that are unwell at this time. We think of some that need the Lord's hand upon them in a very definite way. May they know the grace of God. May it please thee, Father, to put your healing touch upon them. We want to pray, Father, for our brother Norman. At this time, strengthen him. May he know your presence. Our brother Ken as well, be near to him. Remember Ken and Amy's son Rodney as he continues with the treatment that he's receiving. We pray that he might know a very definite healing touch from thyself. We're thankful for your hand upon our sister Betty just in recent days, and pray that you'll continue your good hand upon our sister in the days that lie ahead. We're mindful of Aaron's dad, so ill at this time. Lord, be near to him, and thank you for your hand on Colin's father, bringing him safely through the operation in this week past and the progress that has been made. We're mindful, Father, of some of the little ones of the congregation too that have been on well in this past week, and pray that the hand of God will be upon them as well. We're conscious, Father, even of the COVID, that some have taken the COVID again in recent days. We want to commit each one into your hands. We pray that they'll know the touch of God. We pray, Father, that it might please thee to restrain the rise of this coronavirus in the land over this summertime. Lord, we look to thee. We pray that you might speak across our land, and there will be a turning in this land of ours. Remember, Father, those words in Amos 4, all those great judgments the Lord brought upon Israel, and yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And Father, we're conscious the same is true of our own land, despite all that has taken place, yet ye have not returned. There's not been that brokenness before the Lord, that turning again to the Lord. And Lord, we ask thee to have grace and mercy upon us. Remember our city in these days. We lift this city of Armagh in all its great spiritual need before thee. Lord, we want to pray there will be a turning to God, a turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Hear these, Father, our prayers. We commit the way this morning into your hands, asking that you'll be our guide in this service and every part, and you'll be our guide in every word that is spoken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to take the word of God. We're turning this morning to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read a few verses together. Just at the beginning of that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Remember, we're thinking of membership, the responsibilities of membership particularly. Keep that in mind as we come to this portion, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let me just highlight the latter part of that verse for you. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Ending there this morning, the close of the 12th verse, and we're praying the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We give you all an earnest word of welcome. We welcome you to Armagh Free Church on this, the first Sabbath morning of the month of July. We're glad of your presence. We are very thankful for all that have been able to come. We have some visiting with us, and we're glad of your presence with us in the meeting today. We're glad to see the children and the young people that have been able to join us at this summer time. We're especially glad to see our sister, Mrs. Betty Kennedy, out with us at the meetings again after her recent cataract procedures, and thankful for the Lord's good hand upon her sister. And we welcome all as well that are listening to our service by way of the live stream. And our prayer is that these meetings will be a blessing and of profit to you also. Remember, please, the services this evening, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting. We do appeal to you to come that little bit earlier. We need to pray. We value your prayers, thinking especially of the gospel meeting, but the work of God in general. So 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting, 6:30, the gospel service. I'll be preaching myself at that meeting. We're going to be thinking of the backslider. If there's somebody that you feel would profit from that message, do all you can to encourage them to come. The theme tonight is the path of the backslider. Remember that the annual field service out at the Windrums near the Castle Blaney will take place this afternoon at 3:30. That's held in aid of the radio work. There's 15 radio stations that John Morrison broadcasts over. John will be the speaker at the field service. There'll be some singers, Alex, Scott and David, and our sister Joyce Walsh, Auntie Joyce, will be along to have a special meeting for all of the boys and girls that are present. So if you can, we do encourage you to go along to the field service. Tuesday night at 7:30, the outreach team will be meeting. They're meeting this Tuesday evening down at Rich Hill, meeting there at the graveyard, the Orchard Graveyard, or just beside the Presbyterian Church. They're going to start the outreach in the village of Rich Hill this coming Tuesday evening. We have been encouraged in the past with those that have come along. We encouraged as many as possible to be present on Tuesday evening. Speak to our brother Billy if you're planning to be there on Tuesday evening. Remember the midweek service, Wednesday at 8. I'll be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself in the will of the Lord. Next Lord's Day, the 10th of July, services at the usual times, 11:30 and 6:30. I'll be the preacher. Just to make you aware that the Holiday Bible Club here in the church will take place between the 26th, Tuesday the 26th, and Friday the 29th of July, God willing. So I'll be every night between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. There'll be a parents' night on the Sabbath evening at the gospel service at 6:30. Our brother Chris Killen from the Lisburn Church, remember Chris works among the addicts under our mission board. He's also very gifted in children's work, so he'll be taking the meetings for us. The details have been posted on the Facebook page, and most of the schools in the area have received the invitations just before the term closed as well. Do remember Rhonda and Gillian as they make all the plans and preparations and lead the work for us in the Holiday Bible Club. There is a sheet in the porch. We ask you to put your name on the sheet as soon as possible, just to give the ladies an indication of who will be available to help. They need help with all of the aspects of that Holiday Bible Club, so please give your full support to it, and also make the meetings known, and do be much in prayer for it. This night, 2 weeks, Sunday night the 17th, after the evening service, we're going to meet for a little while, a short time after the service. There'll be a time of prayer for the Holiday Bible Club, and also there'll be a sharing of the rota as well, just for the meetings and the various activities. Remember that there will be no midweek service Wednesday night week. That's the 13th of July, because of the way it falls just in the holiday week. And then the following Lord's, or the following Wednesday night, that's Wednesday the 20th, we will be going back downstairs again for the midweek services. Just to remind the parents that the hall downstairs is available during the services as a creche if you need it. And just to stress especially that you can use this door at any time in the service if you want to take the children downstairs. There's no need for you to go the long way round outside, especially if the weather isn't very favourable. So just to emphasise, please do use this door here just beside the pulpit to take the children downstairs. The offerings that have been taken recently, just to make you aware, the offering that was taken for the Slavic Gospel Association, that was on Wednesday night past. Our brother Derek Maxwell was with us. We were blessed by that meeting, the insights that he gave, the burden that our brother has for the work in which he's engaged, how vast that work really is, the many undertakings that they have. So £907 was the offering so far on Wednesday night. There's also been an appeal made for the Early Child Development Centre in Naporo. So far, £1,355 has come in for that offering. Remember, we'd like to raise £2,500, if possible, for the Early Child Development Centre there in Naporo in Kenya. So sincere thanks to you as a congregation again for your continued very liberal giving to all of these very needy causes. You can still add to both of those offerings. The appeal for the school in Kenya will be kept open for a few weeks. But if you'd like to give to the Slavic Gospel Association offering, that is still possible. Put your gift in an envelope and mark it for their ministry. Just to emphasise to you that we're planning to have an outreach on the 12th of July. We have printed more of the King William tracts that we used last summer. Virtually all of the ones that were printed last summer have gone, so we've printed a few more. We'll have more details just about
the exact times and so on, where to meet next Lord's Day, but like as many people as possible, just to get involved in that outreach. Let our brother Billy know if you're planning to be present. We'd like to go out just into the city in the morning time to distribute some of that gospel literature. The Radio Star Country broadcasts continue on a Wednesday afternoon. Please pray for them. I'll be doing the messages again in this month of July, and would value your prayers just for the Lord's guidance. The installation of the Reverend Stephen McRae as the new minister of the Ballinahinch Church will take place this coming Friday evening, the 8th of July at 8 o'clock. The meeting is being held in the Lisburn Church, just to give them a little bit more space there for the congregation that will be attending that special meeting. Remember, it's in the Lisburn Church, and the moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, will be there to conduct the installation and to bring the message. The latest Vision magazine, that's the one for July and August, is available in the porch. Also, the Watching and Waiting, the current edition. I have a message or an article in that magazine on Is Russia in the Prophetic Scriptures? So remember, both of those magazines, take your copies as you're going from the meetings. There's a few additional copies of the Concordance of Prophecy, £1.50 each. All the copies that were there had gone, so there is some more copies there if you didn't get one of those. Please continue to pray for all that are unwell in the congregation, and especially the senior members who are no longer able to be out with us. We do want to sympathise as a congregation with Mr. Norman Kerr, one of our senior elders, on the death of his sister-in-law, Mrs. Barbara Conn. Barbara passed away just about midday yesterday. Some of you will have known Barbara, will have met Barbara. That was Norman's late wife, Doreen, her sister, Barbara. So pray the family will know the Lord's presence and comfort through these very sad days of bereavement for them. We're going to sing another hymn together. It's the hymn 488, All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. 488, we'll leave out the middle verse, verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing, please.
I will ever.
We're going to bow together again just before the Lord. We'll take a moment just to seek his face. Father, we cry earnestly for the help and power of God upon the remainder of the service. We ask, Father, that you'll come and be with us. We pray you'll come and lead us. We ask you to open up thy word. We pray that you'll break the bread of life. We'll come, Father, that we might hear a word from thyself, a word in season. Pray you'll speak to all of our hearts. Bless every member of this congregation. Encourage every heart, Father, in the days in which we're found, the circumstances through which each are passing. And Lord, we remember our brother Norman, the family circle, at this time of grief and sadness. Lord, do be near to them. We pray that you'll comfort their hearts. Thank you for the memory of Barbara. And Lord, we want to pray that her family especially will know the Lord drawing near, ministering, speaking to them. We pray for our brother Norman. Just be with him in his circumstances at this time. Think of the weakness of body. Lord, strengthen our brother. And we ask that every day he will know the grace and the help of God that he requires. Lord, hear these our prayers. Come now, we pray. Open your word. Come, Father, and speak very clearly to our hearts this day. We pray that the Spirit of God himself will come and give power, and that he might apply the word to every waiting heart. Answer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that we had taken last Lord's Day, we're going to turn you to it again. Amos 6, verse 1. We're thinking of the subject of the marks of a church member. Let me just emphasize that although these comments are directed particularly at those who are members of the church, I stress to you again that every Christian should be a member of the local congregation. That is something that is scriptural, taught very clearly in the Word of God. But even though the messages are directed particularly at the members, these things apply to every Christian, to every professing child of God, every person that professes to know Christ as their Savior. So the text is Amos 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Let me just remind you, we told that story last Sunday morning of the child writing the essay. The teacher had given them just the one word. The subject was what? And the little boy, maybe quite mischievously, wrote just two words on his page. So what? And the reality, and it's a sad reality, that's the attitude of many Christians in the days in which we live towards the things of God. And it's the attitude of many members of the church, the local church, towards their responsibilities as communicant members of a local congregation. Years ago, there was a black church in Kansas, in the United States. It had a slogan for its church, a slogan to challenge all its members. And it was this: wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, and pay up, but never give up or let up or back up or shut up until the cause of Christ in this church and in the world is built up. That sums it up very well. The sad thing is that Christians do let up. They do back up, and they can't give up. And that's really what Amos is speaking about. That's what he's addressing. That's what he's challenging here in these words. Those that are at ease in Zion, those that are at ease in the church of Jesus Christ, maybe you're one such Christian. Remember that Zion in the Word of God can be used as a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. So the question, brethren and sisters, is, does this text describe you today? Have you eased up in your walk, your work, your service, your efforts for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Remember, we have been thinking of the marks of the member of a church. Last Sunday morning, we highlighted two, that a church member should be clean and that a church member should also be cooperating. And we mentioned several things onto that second point in which we should all be cooperating together, attending and praying and so forth. So if you didn't hear the first part of the message, we encourage you to listen to it. You can get a recording or you can download it from Sermon Audio or take a look at it on Facebook. There's some other important characteristics of a church member we want to emphasize to you today. For example, a church member should be conquering. A member of the church, Christians in general, they should be living their life in victory. In other words, victory over self, victory over sin, and victory over Satan. Let me remind you that the old nature is still within us. Like Noah's Ark, remember Noah's Ark had animals and birds and so on that were clean and unclean within it. And so it is with the Christian. We have still the old nature within us, but thank God when we came to Christ, we were given the new nature as well. One is clean and one is not. And there's a fight that is going on. There's a battle that is taking place between those natures within every Christian, every child of God. Paul said to the believers at Galatia, the flesh lusteth, or literally the word lusteth there means warreth. The flesh is warring against the spirit. So there's a fight, there's a battle, brethren and sisters, that is taking place within you. But the believer should be winning that fight. We win it not in our own strength. We win that fight, that battle, by the power and by the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. The power of the Spirit that comes upon us. Remember, Paul said to the Romans, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So you think of the sinful habits, the bad attitudes, and ask yourself, have you conquered them since you came to Christ in salvation? Or is the truth of the matter, they have conquered you? Many Christians are like Samson. They can conquer the enemy, but they cannot conquer themselves. Remember, we spoke on Samson a few months back, the strong man who was weak. He was able to conquer everybody else, but he couldn't conquer himself, couldn't conquer his own wicked passions that was within him. There was a man many years ago won the Victoria Cross. He won the Victoria Cross for bravery. This week, we've been thinking again, particularly on Friday, of the Battle of the Somme, the Ulster Division, the bravery of those men, the unparalleled bravery, how they were heralded for their great courage. And this man won the Victoria Cross for his bravery. But at home, he lived a drunkard. He couldn't conquer himself. And you know, sometimes Christians can be like that as well. Let me give you two examples, two areas of life that maybe we should consider as we think of conquering. Think of your temper. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So what he's saying is, there's a greater victory to control your temper than to defeat a city. And I wonder, have you won that battle in your own heart and in your own life? You think of Moses, the great man of God, and yet Moses never conquered his own temper. The Bible describes Moses as a meek man, meekest man on the face of the earth. But Moses was also an angry man. And there's many examples of that. Why did he kill the Egyptian? Why did he break the tables of stone with the commandments written upon them as he carried them down from Mount Sinai? Why did he smite the rock that day with the rod when the Lord told him the second time to speak to the rock? Well, the answer, men and women, every time was he lost his temper. Moses lived for 120 years, longer than any of us will ever expect to live. And yet all his life, all that 120 years, he had a problem with his temper. In fact, his temper kept him out of the promised land. That incident when he smote the rock that day. It says they provoked his spirit and he spake unadvisedly with his lips. When they riled him, they stirred him up and he lost his temper. He got angry with the people. And that's what kept him out of the promised land. Someone said that their temper was like a shotgun. There was a blast and then it was over. Well, another person in the company that they said that to very quickly replied, yes, but it destroys everything in front of it. And a blast of temper can just be like that. Moses, by his temper, destroyed his usefulness, his opportunity. And we can do the same, men and women. So there's a need to conquer the temper by the power of God. The other area I'll mention, think of the television. We did speak on this maybe a year or so ago at length in a message. TV is useful. We're not against the television. It can be a great help. But it can have a powerful hold on your life, even the life of a Christian. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. And yet sometimes we can be brought under the power of the television. What of that? Are you under its power? You know, if you have to arrange your day to be home for certain programs, or if you can't go out at night, maybe can't go out to a meeting because you want to stay at home to watch the television, then you haven't conquered it. You haven't got the victory over it. So church members should be those who are conquering, living the life of faith, the life of victory. Another area that I'll emphasize is to be consecrated. Every Christian, especially every member, should be consecrated, dedicated, surrendered to the work of the gospel. Paul said of the Christians in Macedonia, that's why we read this morning from 2 Corinthians 8. Paul said, but first give their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice those words, and unto us by the will of God. In other words, what they did was they gave themselves to the church. Mr. Spurgeon, whenever he preached on church membership, that's the text, that's the verse, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, that he used when he spoke on the subject of church membership, giving yourself unto us, unto the church, by the will of God. And that's what church membership's all about. It's about giving yourself entirely to the work of the local church, the local congregation. It's been sold out to its witness. Remember the story of Stephen Alford, born to missionary parents. He was born in Africa, but he gave his life to the Lord. The Lord had to take a dealing with him. He had a motorbike accident, ended up in hospital, and when he was laid aside, the Lord spoke to him. Remember that's the reason why sometimes we're called aside in periods of ill health, to give us the opportunity to think, to reflect on the things of God and on our walk with the Lord. But that time in hospital, the Lord brought Stephen Alford to the place where he said to the Lord, any time, any place, any price, sold out to God. He would be willing at any time to go to any place to serve the Lord at any price. And I wonder, is that the sort of member you are? Or do you just get involved if it suits you, if it benefits you to be there? You're devoted to your job, to your career, to your business, to your hobby, maybe devoted to politics. But what of the work of God? What of the work of the church? Are you like the Macedonians that we read about? Giving yourself to it? Giving yourself to the church? You're out and out for sport? Maybe out and out for other organizations? Have you the same attitude? The same zeal for the work of Christ? the work of the gospel. David said, when he's making the great challenge about building the temple in Jerusalem, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? That's another word for surrender, another word for being fully dedicated to the work of God. The word consecrate is very interesting. It has the idea, if you have a Bible with a margin, look up that verse. It is the idea of having your hands full. Who then is willing to have his hands full this day in the service of the Lord? So ask yourself, what are your hands full of? Are they consecrated hands? Are they full of the service of Christ? Are they full of the business of soul winning? The Savior said, Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that's a very interesting challenge. Seek ye first. It's a matter of priorities. Priorities in life. Just ask yourself for a moment as you sit in the Lord's house today, what are your priorities in life? Does the work of God have priority? Does the church, the service of Christ, is that what has first place? Or would it have to be said of you today that you're entangled with the affairs of this life? You know, deep sea diver, the greatest danger when they plunge down into the depths of the oceans doesn't come from sharks or other dangerous sea-going creatures. Their greatest danger comes from having their air hose being entangled so that they lose their supply of air. Their supply of oxygen is cut off. And your greatest danger as a church member, as a Christian, is being entangled with worldly things. In reality, that means just being carnal. Remember that carnal has to do with the things of this world. So your greatest danger is being entangled with worldly things. Paul said to Timothy, he was talking about the Christian soldier, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier is one that is fully dedicated to his vocation, to his calling in life. And we should be the same. We're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, things that take up so much time, things that push out the work of God, the cause of Christ, things that kill your involvement, your usefulness in the life of the church. There's a need, brethren and sisters, to be surrendered. There's a need to give yourself to Christ, to the church, to the work of God, to the work of the gospel, and to the extension of his kingdom. So conquering, consecrated. The final one I'll mention, there's a need to be consistent, consistency. Isn't it true? You've witnessed it several times over the years. Many start well, but they don't continue. They don't finish well in the Christian life. Paul said to the Corinthians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast and unmovable. God wants us, brethren and sisters, to be consistent. To be consistent, especially in the Christian life. To be consistent in our service. To be consistent in our support of the church and of the work of God. Isn't that one of the things that is greatly lacking, greatly needed? Consistency and service and support of the work of the church. Joash, the king of Judah, one of the marks of his life was that he didn't finish well. He was one of those that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now take a little look at 2 Kings chapter 12. You'll see the story. He didn't finish his life well. And many church members are like that. Maybe you'll be one of them. You start well, go on for a few years, but then fell by the wayside. In the United States, a number of years ago, there was a foot race from coast to coast. Just think of the length of that. Long race, a marathon in many ways. From Los Angeles to New York, hundreds started out with great enthusiasm, going to go from one coast to the other. But what they found along the way was that most dropped out. Most dropped out along the path. And that's so true, men and women. So true in the life of the church. It's so true in the Christian life. There are those that start out with great zeal, but they drop out along the way. Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Didn't say that you are. It's in the past tense, not in the present. Ye did run well. Something hindered them. You ran well at one time. Once you were in the forefront of the work. Once you were zealous, serving the Lord with great zeal. Once you were giving in their entirety your time and your talents to the work of the church. But that's not the case anymore. You haven't been consistent in your walk and your work for the Master. So some things, brethren and sisters, some marks, characteristics of what a church member should be, what every Christian really should be. Your life should be clean. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We should be cooperating, working together, not fighting together, but laboring together to promote the cause of the gospel. We should be those that are living in victory, living the Christian life in victory by the power and the grace of God, victory over sin and self and over Satan. We should be those that are fully devoted to this great cause, the one thing that is needful, to glorify Christ, to exalt his name, to promote his cause. You know, when you stand at the end of your days and when you stand before the Lord at the judgment, that's the only thing that will matter, men and women. All the other worldly things are secondary. The only thing that will matter then is what you did for the Lord, what you did in his service. And then the matter of consistency. May the Lord enable us to be steady Christians, consistent in our walk and in our work for the Master. This is the holiday time. Some of you will be going off in the weeks to come. We wish you well. Pray you'll have journeying mercies. Pray you'll have a time of refreshing. Some are away on holiday at present. It's always good to visit historical buildings when you're on holiday. A lady once was touring one of the great cathedrals of Europe. The guide was giving them all the details, the history, the background, the design, the statues, talking about the paintings and so on. Then he gave a time for questions. This dear old lady, she was a Christian lady, loved the Lord. She asked the guide, how many souls have been saved here this year? Wasn't the sort of question he was expecting from one of the tourists. It was not a good question, men and women. He tried to dismiss it. That's not the sort of building this is. What a sad reflection that comment was. So how many souls have been saved here this year in Armagh? It's not a good question, good test. The answer, men and women, not as many as we would like. Not as many as we would want. I leave the question with you and ask yourself, is it because you're at ease in Zion? Is it because you're careless in the things of God? Is it because you're not giving yourself to Christ and to his work as you should, to the work of the church, not being the Christian, not being the member you ought to be, not being the member you promised you would be, whenever you became a member, were received into membership of this local congregation? Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. May God save us, men and women. May God save us from that spirit, that attitude, in the days in which we live. 532, Noel Grant, an Armagh man, started out in this community, finished his days down in Bangor, penned these words, "Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thy all and follow me." Think of the words of that third verse. "So soon eternal morn shall dawn, how fast the night is hastening on. So soon is lovely face to see, how sad to empty-handed be." So we're going to stand together. We'll sing verses 1, 3 and 4. We'll leave out the second. 1, 3 and 4, 5, 3, 2, and we'll stand to sing, please. Church and its work before thee. We confess that we need the quickening touch of God. Come and quicken us today by thy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you'll breathe upon us. We remember the ministry of Haggai in Jerusalem and how he stirred up the people in their work, their labours for the Lord. Lord, we ask you to come and stir up all of our hearts in these apathetic and indifferent days in which we're found. We cry, Father, for greater zeal. Help us to lift our eyes from ourselves, to consider the cross, to consider the love of our Saviour. Lord, we recognize that there's nothing that we can consider a sacrifice when we consider the sacrifice of Christ for us. touch our hearts today. We pray that the love of Christ will touch and warm and melt our hearts. And we pray that that love will constrain us in our efforts and in our labors for the Master. Bless this church. Lord, lead us on. We pray that we'll go forward. We ask that there'll be an advancing of the testimony of Christ in this city. We pray that you'll add to this church. And Lord, we want to pray today that it will please thee to bless us so that we possess more land for the Master. Be with us through the day. Remember the gospel service tonight. We pray for the power of God to be upon it and for souls to be brought in to hear the gospel. And we pray now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will rest and remain and abide with us all, both now and evermore. Amen.